From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
All right, we are back with another episode of PDGA Radio. I'm sorry we are a little late this week. I'm Steve Hill, joined by Sarah Sinclair. Sarah, we're kind of on take two of the podcast, so sorry to our listeners for being behind schedule. We had a little bit of a technical error. And by a technical error, I mean I messed up. And so, Sarah, thank you for your patience. And we'll try and recapture the magic, man. That was probably one of our best episodes ever.
I said to you before we recorded that I felt like I was really charming yesterday. And I don't think I'm going to be able to replicate it.
Turn it back on.
Yeah, no, I'll try. I just re-upped on my caffeine. I'm drinking a giant cup of coffee right now. So I think that was part of the magic yesterday.
Yeah, right. There we go. All right. So anyway, thank you, everyone, for your patience. And I hope everyone's hanging in there out there. We're in week two or three or however many of, you know, a lot of the stay-at-home, shelter-in-place kind of orders due to the coronavirus. It's been a little bit, you know, obviously there hasn't been any sanctioned disc golf. We're not going to be talking about too much. We will update some other PDGA news and guidance, but Sarah, how are you? And first of all, how are you and Sean holding up out there in Nashville? Everything going okay?
Yeah, we're doing well. I feel like we almost kind of thrive in a quarantine because we've been working from home for 3 years. I'm kind of crazy in that I don't know if whoever else is like this. Surely other people are like this, but I never let something like, for instance, toilet paper. I would never just completely run out of toilet paper and then go out and buy more. I always, like, if we get down to six rolls of toilet paper, I'm like, okay, we need more toilet paper. Same thing with the, you know, our food staples, anything. So we're completely well stocked. We got a treadmill recently, so I haven't been doing as much. Actually, I kind of ditched my running friends. We all kind of ditched each other when we were supposed to, you know, run 6 feet apart. And we're like, well, then we can't really talk to each other if we're on a tight trail. And so having the treadmill has been really useful. And we live on 5 acres, so we can throw and walk and get out and get some fresh air, but we're doing really well.
Good.
We actually, yesterday I was talking all about how we were trying not to leave our property and we were making a game out of it. Well, today we had to leave our property. We broke the bubble.
Very disappointed.
Yeah. So because of that, we had to go to an appointment that was required. We couldn't do it remotely, unfortunately. And we had some time to kill and ended up going grocery shopping too. So we re-upped on some things.
Restart the clock.
I know. I feel like we're good for probably a month now.
Yeah. No, that's good. Hopefully. Yeah. Yeah, hopefully everyone's hanging in there. You know, if you're a listener,
you?
Oh, we're good. We get a little stir crazy, like my daughter being out of school and everything. But and you know, supposed to be homeschooling, and I don't think she's done any homeschooling yet today. And it's
Friday,
about a half hour from when she would be out of normal school. But we'll do some stuff. She's pretty good at school, so I'm not too stressed. But We're doing all right. We're hanging in there, and you know, we have eggs, so that's good. That was the one thing that I was having a hard time tracking down. But I do want to say, if there are listeners out there who are, you know, working in grocery stores right now or, you know, essential businesses, thank you. You guys are like champs right now. Speaking from, you know, semi secondhand, my mother-in-law works at Costco. And apparently it's just banana sandwich there right now. So, you know, hopefully people are being safe and sane, but yeah, don't leave the house if you don't have to. You know, that's kind of where a lot of the guidance is going. And it's kind of where, our PDGA guidance went this week to some mixed results. So Sarah, if I can, you know, if I can take the floor for just a moment, I kind of want to speak to the skip the course, stay home kind of message that we've been sending this week. First of all, if you're a listener and I'm preaching the choir, thank you. Appreciate it. You understand. If you're a listener who's like, F you, PDGA, I'm going to go play disc golf. You know, I'm talking to you right now, and I'm going to let you know what kind of the thinking is, because, you know, when we say, hey, skip the course, stay home, we understand. That's like the last thing that anyone at the PDGA wants to be advising or asking anyone to do, right? It's like antithetical to everything that the PDGA is about. We all want to play. We're all addicted to the sport. We know how important it is to people. We know how much of a stress reliever it is for people. Gosh, I know, like, the amount of times you hear about people going out after a long week of work to play doubles or tag matches, or just getting out for a solo round by yourself or anything like that is huge. So we understand that. But, you know, right now we are also a governing body of a sport and an organization that wants to lead. And in times like this, this is what leaders do. Leaders try and look at the greater good and see what impact we can have. So that's kind of the thinking behind the skip the course, stay at home campaign. Yes, there have been several, you know, local authorities who say, you know, don't go to the store. Go to the store once a week. Try not to go to the gym. Don't go do these other things. Don't do these non-essential things. But, you know, go out and run. Go out and hike. Go for a bike ride. And so people say, well, disc golf is basically the same thing. It's just like hiking and it's just like running and stuff. And to some degree, yeah, that is true. However, you know, we're kind of, again, trying to look at the essential functions right now of society. And like, unless you have a disc golf course on your property or right outside your house, you probably have to travel somewhere, which generally means some other interactions along the way. You know, and then there's the whole idea of, oh, well, I'm just going to go play a solo round and that's totally fine. Yeah, sure. But you play a solo round and then the next person plays a solo round and everybody else plays solo rounds. And soon it's your disc golf course has become the beaches in Florida and they're overrun with people. And we've seen this in some places. Baskets have gotten pulled at like De La and Huntington Beach and not just California. I'm not just speaking my personal experience. I don't know the course off the top of my head, but I've seen people talk about courses in like Wisconsin and South Carolina and Georgia have been pulling courses. So basically, you know, we're looking at it from the idea of we want to do our part. And, you know, as the governing body of the sport, we're kind of asking people to join us in a more like unified approach to this. So that's why we're asking you to skip the course and stay home. We're not trying to say this is forever. That's the thing I really, really want to emphasize. It's just for now. Like, eventually this stuff is going to blow over. But right now, if the safest thing to do, if all the authorities are saying, hey, stay home, you know, go to the store once a week, do your essential items, and that's it. That's kind of what we're asking to. It sucks. I know it's hard. We hate doing it. But we're really hoping that people will get on board with us. And if you don't, then please at least do your best to be safe. Yeah, that's the thing. We've talked about this on the show for the last 2 or 3 weeks, Sarah. This isn't just about individuals. This is about several other people involved. We don't know, you know, we know that this thing is very infectious. We don't know exactly how it hits people. This whole idea that, oh, it's only the elderly people or vulnerable populations is not correct.
Right.
If you want to be like me and not sleep at night, go on the internet and read the horror stories of people who are of average health and average age, or good health and, you know, middle age. Like,
well, my cousin
is not discriminating.
Yeah, my cousin is a year younger than me and currently battling with it. So it's close to home for me. I have two grandparents in their 90s that are luckily safe right now. I've got a couple high risk people in my family. And to me, it's just like, and maybe it's because I was going to already take this year off of competitive disc golf. So I'm not like, it doesn't feel like a burden or something that I'm exactly giving up by not going to the course or anything like that. But just like, think a little bit more broadly, think about how this, if you go play disc golf, it could have a negative impact. And if you don't, then it absolutely won't. So
yeah.
For me, it's like, I value my life and the lives of others over a silly sport with a piece of plastic. Sorry.
Yeah,
I mean it's, yeah. All sport, like when it comes down to life and death, like all sports kind of are a little bit silly at this point. Like, it's just not important. They're just not important. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's hard. It's hard. And yeah. Everyone needs their outlet, and everyone, reacts to things differently and has a hard time adjusting. Like the other day, my mom and my sister were like at each other about stupid stuff because there's just high tension right now and stress. And I think that's where a lot of people's negative reactions to this are coming from. That and the whole concept of like, this is America, freedom, all that stuff. I get it. And so that's why I said, number one, nobody at the PGA has mandated this. We're not saying, hey, if you go play disc golf, you're busted. And we're not saying, hey, you can't ever be a PGA member again if you go and you get caught on a Frisbee course this week. We're not saying that. We're just simply asking you to get on board.
It's so, like a firm recommendation.
Yeah, there we go. It's just, it's our way of trying to guide people toward the greater good. So in that regard, Sarah, I do want to try and come up with some solutions, not just, hey, don't play, but what can you do from home, right? Because you can do some disc golf at your house. I made a video last weekend that I put on our social media channels. I took my disc golf basket into my stairwell and worked on my uphill putting. Like there's things that you can do, even if you don't have a basket. We'll address that. So Sarah, give me some ideas. What is something that we can tell listeners that you can work on from the comfort and safety of your own home?
So there are two challenges going on social media right now. One is from Perfect Putt 360, and they're doing a putt in place challenge. And go onto any of their social media platforms and check it out. It's basically just practicing putting and challenging yourself, trying to beat your highest score and then sharing it. And then the other one that's really taken off the past couple weeks, or I guess the past week, is the global. So this is a Facebook group. You need to go in and join, read all the rules. They're not, just make sure to read them all to make sure that you're doing it correctly. But all you need is a basket, at least one putter and a tape measure. But it's the Global Pandemic Putting Challenge. And I checked today, and there's almost 1,800 people that were already in the group.
Yeah, and that's gone up a lot. That was like at 500 earlier this week.
Yep, and I'm not sure how many people. So basically, the whole concept is you do a Facebook Live video to the group, so they're making sure that you're not doing any kind of video editing and manipulating the video to make it look like you're making more putts than you are.
Oh, okay, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, and you go on and you prove that you're using a basket that's not homemade, that you've got PGA sanctioned or PGA approved putters, and that you're putting from 20 feet away from the basket. So hence the tape measure. So you do that, and then you're doing a Facebook Live and setting it up, and then you just start putting from 20 feet and you just keep going until you miss, basically. So I tried this yesterday. Oh, and there's different divisions. There's male, indoor, outdoor, female, indoor, outdoor, and juniors under 13, indoor, outdoor. So even if you don't, even if you don't have a whole lot of space outside or inside, use what you got. But I tried this yesterday when we did the first recording of the show, and I was super nervous because I was like, man, what if I just doink my first one?
Yeah.
And then I'm in the zero club, which apparently is a thing now because several people have done that. So I was super nervous. So I went out, and it was, of course, very windy. And we set it up so that I was putting into a tailwind, or the tailwind was behind me. And I threw like a couple putts, and I was like, all right, I'm feeling this. I got this. And I made the first one. I was like, yeah, okay. I got past the scary part. And then I missed the second one. So it was very short lived. But there's some pretty, even if you don't want to do it, I challenge you to do it if you have a basket. But if you don't want to do it, it is extremely entertaining. People are uploading their videos all day long. And the latest person that I just saw is a listener of the show, one named Thomas Gilbert.
Thomas!
And he did, I believe he did the indoor putting.
Sure.
And he is in the zero club. So don't be embarrassed if you doink. I know. Sorry, Thomas.
That's all right. He still throws five times as far as anybody else doing that thing.
Well, he never has to make 20-foot putts because he's always putting it next to the basket.
He's always too close. Yeah. I know, right?
So if you're in the zero club. Oh, and so this is running as of right now for 3 weeks. And you get a new entry every week. So next week I'll start over and see if I can get more putts. And then your name is, you have to fill out like a little simple form, and your name is thrown into a basket for prizes. And there's all these different companies that are supporting this. The last That's time awesome. I looked, yeah, I was watching Courtney McCoy's video, and she, I believe, got 13. So she's leading the
Dang, that's pretty legit. Sport.
Yeah, and she was doing all straddle putts, which is super cool. And she had a rooster walking around in her video, so extra points for that.
But, nice.
Yeah, so that was super cool. And then there's another, so I can't take any credit for any of these things, but right before we started recording, I saw someone post, we've got an Innova sponsored player face, like private Facebook group, and I don't remember who posted it now, but he posted that he's practicing his trick shots. So yeah. Like throwing off a balcony, his balcony of his house or whatever, just doing all sorts of crazy Simon Lizotte stuff and filming it. So that's a super cool thing too. If you want to upload that onto YouTube or social media and get some followers and challenge other people.
All right, let's try and be a little more outside the box though, because the one complaint that I've seen for people, and I shouldn't say the one complaint, I've seen a lot of complaints from a lot of people. It's been a long week. You know, what if you don't have a basket, right? Like you can't putt or, you know, putt into a basket. What can we suggest? My first suggestion would be, you know, go pick a post out in your yard. And maybe if you don't want to damage your putters too much, I'm thinking like, cause my house is like stucco, I don't want to throw putters at my stucco post. It would damage the putters and the house. Maybe pick like a fence post, wooden fence post, wrap a towel around it, something like that. And just work on your mechanics, right? Cause your putt comes down to mechanics so much. I'm thinking right now, back to just a couple weeks ago, Paul McBeth, best disc golfer in the world, was put out a video where he was putting into a basket that had no chains. He was just painting the pole and like literally no chains. You don't need chains, people. All you people who say, oh God, I just can't do it without the chains. I need the sound of the chains. They got apps for that. Download chain sounds and make them when you make the putt yourself.
I need chains.
I mean, you could do a pile of, no, you don't, you don't. You need to pretend it's your old friend, Steady Ed, playing catch with you, because that's how the first pole holes were designed. They were designed to catch, not absorb, or maybe absorb, not catch. I don't know. Either way, they were meant for soft putting. Secondly, I would just suggest like set up a chair at the end of your hallway or a pile of pillows or something that you can just putt into to catch the disc. And then the other thing, though, is like, okay, you can only putt for so long, right? Like, I will be the first to admit, I don't practice putting more because I get bored. So how about driving, Sarah? You got any tips for driving? Like, you're out in 5 acres.
Yeah.
Put yourself in my shoes where my backyard is, you know, 40 feet wide on a good day. It's like the circle is my yard.
I would challenge. So I've got a couple more things. So for driving, there are a lot of good YouTube videos on mechanics. There are a lot of different styles. I'm trying to say this nicely because I'm in the same boat. There's a lot of different styles and forms out there. But if you watch like Paul McBeth and Eagle and all of them, they all pretty much have the same form. Dropping
superhuman ability.
Yeah, like dropping the back knee, not leaning forward, basically like you're hitting a baseball. So I would go into some of those YouTube videos, get a mirror and practice. Paige Pierce also has like,
film yourself.
Form. Yeah. Film yourself, practice in the mirror against their form, compare and contrast what you could be doing differently. And just work on that muscle memory and then translate that when you do end up getting a place where you can start driving again. Hopefully you can transfer it to the course, but it's all going to kind of start in your living room, just visualizing what you do and comparing it and what you need to do to get to a Paul McBeth type form could be super helpful.
I would even say like, if you've, I know there's plenty of people like you got to do projects around the house. Maybe you painted recently and you've got like a drop cloth, hang that thing up in a doorway and throw into that, or hang up a couple bed sheets and throw into that. Maybe you try that outside just in case. Or you can go online, and I know I'm not trying to get everyone to spend more money because this isn't a great time for money for people. You know, go online. Dick's Sporting Goods has got nets for like $40. You can come up with some ways to drive, get that power practice in without having to go too crazy. And we're going to have some more suggestions later on the show from Seth Muncy of Disc Golf Strong, but Sarah looks like she wants to give more suggestions.
I have a couple more.
Okay.
I feel like we've thought of more between yesterday's recording and today. If you get tired of putting and watching yourself drive in a mirror, get a quarantine buddy who is currently quarantined with you and get a catch disc or an ultimate frisbee or even just a putter if you don't have a catch disc and work on those, having the nose slightly up and just kind of like floaty approach shots. Like Garrett Gerthy is a absolute artist when it comes to his approach shots with, what disc does he use again? I'm totally blanking.
Sonic.
Okay, I was going to say Condor, but yeah, so a disc like that. And just practice those touch shots. Practice putting it right next to the basket instead of throwing. Like, I used to throw line drives, and if they didn't hit metal, they'd be going, like, 30 feet past. And then I figured out putting finesse on that. So throwing it back and forth with someone can really help you on that approach game.
Yeah, two of people's very favorite disc golfers, Jeremy Colin, Nate Sexton, often could be found playing catch before their rounds.
It's super useful. And then Innova just sent an email out to everyone on their email list yesterday, and they're running disc golf stimulus package deals. So right now you can get an Innova Sport basket plus three free putters and free shipping for $200, or you can get one of those like fold-up traveler baskets and three putters and free shipping for $150. So it should be on their website. If you've got some money to spare and want to get a basket if you don't have one right now, those are some really good deals that are happening. And then very last thing, mental game. We've talked to people like Eagle before about his mental game. I started taking up, not necessarily for disc golf, but just life in general. I started using this app called Calm about a year ago, and they do what's called Daily Calm. It's like a 10-minute little meditation. But they've got all these different meditation series that you can do. And I really think those could translate well to the disc golf course and just keeping centered and not getting too emotional on the course and, you know, practicing breathing and all of that sort of stuff can also help when you get back on the course.
Yeah, for sure. If you've got any suggestions that you want to share, like if you're a listener and you found something cool, something unique, something you haven't seen people do before, send us a message, radio@pdga.com. I think people would love to hear some more creative ways that they can, disc golf from home, and post some things on social media for us. Use the hashtag disc golf from home. We're tracking that over on Instagram and Facebook and stuff. And we'll share it. We've had people send stuff to us. I had a guy make he called it a quarantine ace. I called it a shelter in ace.
That was great.
And,
I saw that.
and a couple hundred feet out in the field from his house, but it was cool. It was technically a cubby ace, but that's okay. Two more bits of information before we move on to the interview segment. Number one, besides the question of, why are you guys asking me to stay home and when I can go running, and that's the same thing. We have received quite a few questions about refunds or extensions or credits on PDGA memberships, since there is no sanctioned events until at least April 30th. We definitely hear those questions, and we are working on some things. I will say our longstanding policy is that PDGA memberships are not refundable, but we are looking at different things like extensions or credits or whatever other options. The big thing is, like, because we still don't really know how long this is going to go on, we can come up with plans, but they might change tomorrow. So we really need to kind of get to the other side of all this before we can give anything too concrete. But please know, if you are a member and you are impacted by this, we do hear you, and we are looking at the best way to move forward from the situation with regards to your membership. And then one more piece of news, and this is a bummer. So we've had event cancellations already, right? From the get-go, we had the final round of Waco canceled, and then Texas States, which is where we should be right now, and then Jonesboro and the Glass Blown Open, and then Sanford's Masters Cup. We have to add another postponement. Oh, and then the Women's Global event too. We have to add another postponement to the list today. The United States Women's Disc Golf Championship was postponed I'm pretty bummed by that. I know a lot of people are, but there is one silver lining, and it's really cool, I think, is so it was supposed to be in the Sacramento area this year, Northern California, and next year it was supposed to be in Madison, Wisconsin. The team from Madison, Wisconsin said, hey, you know what, we'll push back to 2022 so that the NorCal team can run in 21. So really awesome teamwork there. The women's championship will still be in Northern California. It'll just take place next year. We appreciate, you know, Jennifer Nisley and her husband, Bruce, and everybody out there who has worked so hard on it. We appreciate Mike Batka and his team out in Madison for being flexible and just good teammates on all this. And, you know, these are not fun decisions for PGA staff or tournament staff to be making, but it's what we got to do right now. So hopefully we'll get through it. Those are those announcements. So let's bring the tone back up a little bit. We're going to talk to Seth Muncy from Disc Golf Strong. He is currently in self-quarantine right now. So he had some time on his hands to do an interview. And, you know, we're going to chat about his experience out. He was out at the Waco Annual Charity Open when it got canceled. So we're going to talk to him about that and just ways that you can keep your body in shape when you can't be on the course. So we're going to take a quick break, come back with Seth Muncy, and then Sarah and I will close the show. So we'll be back here in just a minute on PGA Radio. All right, welcome to the show from quarantine, Seth Muncy of Disc Golf Strong. He's also a member of the PGA Medical Committee. Seth, first of all, how are you, man? How's everything going for you? You're in California right now, correct?
I am. Thanks for having me on, Steve. Glad to be here. Yeah, I am in California where we are sheltering in place, I think until at least April 8th, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's longer. Yep. And not only am I sheltering in place, I am self-quarantining in my shelter in place. So I've been in my bedroom since I returned from Waco for the tournament there. So to stay kind of away from my wife and two daughters for 14 days, just to be safe with as much travel as I was doing. And, you know, there's been a lot of cases popping up in Waco and in Texas where I was at. So I wanted to make sure that I was just safe and keeping them healthy and safe from me. So, but I've got no symptoms. This is, I think, day 9 or 10. And so I will come out of self-quarantine as long as I have no symptoms by next Tuesday.
Well, man, that's a big sacrifice. And me personally, I appreciate you taking that abundance of caution. I think that's a good example for a lot of people. You know, it's obviously been kind of a crazy couple weeks, right? And like you said, you were out in Waco. So let's kind of start there, and then we'll talk a little bit more about how things have been going on the medical committee and with Disc Golf Strong and everything. But so you're out in Waco. I know you're working with the Disc Golf Pro Tour this year, you know, helping the athletes and everything. What, you know, how did the situation develop out there in Waco where it was, you know, everyone's there at the tournament doing fine, and then it was no spectators and it was no final round? Like, from your perspective, how did that all go down? What was your experience with everything?
Yeah, you know, it was really just surreal, actually, of how quickly everything was evolving. And from being in Arizona just, you know, 2 weeks earlier, 2 weekends earlier, my wife and I were out there for the memorial. And at that time, you know, we're all together. Everyone's, you know, enjoying each other's company and the tournament. And there was little talk about it, not much, but I don't think there was really much national talk about it. At least we didn't feel that there. And then to when I left for Waco, I was definitely more in tune to kind of what was going on around the world. And so I took precautions, made sure that the flight load was really minimal flying there to Austin. We actually got to the Austin airport from San Jose 40 minutes early. And I think that's because the plane was so light. We got there 40 minutes early. But once we, you know, got there, and Wednesday, I kind of walked around I went to the course for a little while. There was a little bit of talk about it, but just really people weren't sure what was going on. We had no idea what was about to take place for the tournament and for other sports. And then wake up Thursday morning and get there, and being on the medical committee, I kind of had received an email that, hey, you know, there's just things happening. We're just not sure what's going to happen. And we really didn't know. It was just like, hey, we're all having to really keep our heads up and look at what's going on in the world and in other sports right now. So then Thursday, people were talking about it at the athletic performance zone that I set up at the Pro Tour stops. I took precautions of, usually I have mats laid out there. I had no mats out. It was more, hey, keep your distance and, you know, warm up and cool down where, you know, in this large space, wherever you can find it. And there's the equipment, there's the foam rollers, and there's also wipes. Any equipment you use, you need to make sure that you grab a wipe and you wipe it down fully and put it back. So that's kind of how it was kind of going on Thursday, not just in the performance zone, but outside of that, you know,
starting to take precautions.
We started to just take precautions. And then you start hearing about other sports, the NBA and the NHL and all that. And that evening I was staying in an Airbnb with Eagle and his dad, Pat, and Calvin Heinberg and Simon Lazad. And we were up for quite a while that night, just talking about everything that was going on and the kind of, if this was going to impact the season or not. And then the next morning to wake up, and I had received some notification that there was going to be no spectators. And then it just started evolving really quick once we got there. I always get there early in the morning, and it went to no spectators to all of a sudden, hey, this is the final round. And everybody, you know, as the athletes were coming to warm up, we would talk about it a little bit, but also I only talked about it as much as they wanted to talk about it, because I know just in their minds at that moment, they were just trying to process everything. I mean, we all were, but they were really trying to process, like, okay, not only is this the final round, but then the news comes out that we're done through GBO. And, you know, everyone stepped up. Everyone went out there and gave their best. They played their tournaments. They played their rounds. But there was definitely that feeling of just uncertainty and surrealness that was going through us all.
And so now you take the steps, you travel back home, you obviously come home to California, which, you know, I'm in California as well. The moves that the government has been making here have been fairly aggressive, which I appreciate and everything. You know, what are you kind of doing over these last couple weeks? You know, I think a lot of people are getting a little stir crazy and things like that. I'm sure you miss your wife and kids. How are you handling just kind of the upheaval of all this situation?
Yeah. So when I got home, and that was, you know, I wasn't flying home till Monday, and a lot of players were not planning to leave till Monday. So I thought, okay, you know, I'm not going to change my ticket. I'm just going to go out Monday. And I was comfortable with that decision. But then once Monday hit, I was like, I want to hurry up and get home. I don't know what's going to happen to flights or anything. So getting home was an adjustment when I got in the bedroom, and I decided, and I'd already made the call that I was going to stay in the room. But I told myself, I'm going to be in here 14 days, and I'll talk about this later more in depth. But I thought, I have to, for me personally, I feel like I have to level up my in other ways. You know, my life, my routines, my thoughts, my reading habits. So I wanted to come out of this on the other side feeling like, you know, I had made progress in other areas of my life. So I've been keeping busy. I've been reading. I've been watching a bunch of courses, taking a bunch of courses I've always wanted to get through and I never have. I've been doing a lot of writing. So I've kept pretty active.
But not physically active.
No, well, physically active in the sense that I've been in the bedroom and I've been doing some squats and I've been, you know, doing a lot of breathing work, meditation work. I think that's really important at all times, but especially during this period of life for all of us. But yeah, I've been active. I got a kettlebell in here, so I've been doing some just kettlebell exercises.
And that's treadmill or anything like that, though, in there.
No, no treadmill in here. Nope.
Man, I mean, I know it's a hard time for a lot of people right now. So I think, you know, people just hearing your experience, I think is important. You know, what you are on the PDGA Medical Committee, which was put together, I think, last year and has been, you know, tasked with several different, you know, roles for the organization, looking at things like CBD and cannabis use. And now, obviously, with a pandemic going on, it's very useful to have a medical committee. So can you give us some insights about what some of the, you know, what have some of the internal discussions been like on this committee with regards to the coronavirus? How has the discussion evolved? And, you know, how are you guys kind of coming to the guidance that you're issuing?
Yeah, you know, first off, preface it by saying, you know, we're all disc golfers. And so the decisions, the conversations, they're all very hard because they don't just impact people beyond, you know, us. They impact us. They impact what we love to do and what we're passionate about as well. You know, we're just as passionate about it as the PDGA board of directors are, as you are, as, you know, all the disc golfers at home are. So they've been challenging, but we understand that this is just the role we're in, and this is what we need to be tackling, and this is what we need to be thinking a lot about. And so they've been very serious and trying to weigh the pros and the cons, for both what we're getting with the data and the research and what the media is saying and what local and regional and federal governments are doing, with also balancing that with what we do as disc golfers. And, you know, we say that we like to say, and we love to say really, that we're a sport that anyone can participate in. We're a lifelong sport. We're an outdoor sport. You can be a solo sport. You can be in groups. You can be in, you know, tournaments, whatever. But having to come at it from a different angle of not just being about the present, but being about the future as well, you know, and, the future affects our present just as the present affects our future. So they've been, we had a video conference call last week, and we had been in contact before that through emails and calls. I talked to Elaine King, heads up our medical committee board. And so we were in talks earlier, and then we got on a call. We actually video called last week, last Wednesday, and went over what we felt like the current data we saw, the trends, the progression of the disease, of the virus, and also just what we felt was, unfortunately, didn't come lightly, what was needed to help protect our members, and not just members, humans. You know, we're humans. We're all, it's not just that we're not just disc golfers, we're humans. So protecting us and the people that we love, that it was probably going to be best if we recommended to the PDGA holding off on sanctioning PDGA events until April 31st. Just, it was that, or is it, do we meet every single week, which we will, which we want to do, but meet every single week and say, okay, not next week, maybe the week after. Okay, not next week, you know, not this week, maybe next week, not this week. That would put tournament directors in flux, in so much flux and uncertainty. And so that was, we felt collectively, that was the best route to where we could actually get a handle on it, see what's going on both here and abroad, here in the United States and abroad, and make our step, make our choice, our recommendations after that. So we sent it over to the PDGA board of directors, and sounds like they got unanimous approval of that, and that's where we were with there.
And then, you know, obviously the next kind of step from that has been, you know, not just sanctioning not happening, but then our messaging this week, coming from, you know, Justin Menichelli, the board of directors, from our staff on our social media channels is, hey, skip the course and stay home. And I, yep. as one of the main people who runs the PDGA social media channels, I can say that I will be the first one to admit that message has been difficult to put out. It has been very polarizing. You know, I want to read you a couple comments, and then maybe we can discuss this a little bit further. You know, here's one comment that says, gosh, I just had it and then my cat kicked me. You know, we understand flattening the curve, but if I get in my car and drive by myself to the course to play disc golf alone and drive back, there's no increased exposure or of transmitting anything. Here's another one. It's actually a recommendation by the CDC and other authorities to maintain outdoor physical activity as long as you're 6 feet apart or better. You know, so a lot of people thinking, hey, all my local authorities say, go out for a run, go out for a hike, go ride your bike. Why is the PDGA asking me? And I would like to say asking, we're not mandating anything, people.
Yep.
Why are we asking people to not go to the course then, if there is all this other information that says, go out and get exercise?
Yeah. Yeah. As you said, Steve, in the position you're in, and I know it's a very tough position.
That's fine. I'm good
right
with it
now. absolutely. But it is. But it has its challenges. But you rise up to that. You know where you need to be and where the sport needs to be, and we appreciate that, Steve. Just as in the medical committee had to make the recommendation to the PDGA board of directors for the April 31st timeline. Also, we just have to, both all of us in professional disc golf, we have to look and make the most prudent decisions and the wisest decisions. And looking at, like, we can't, like you said, we're not mandating. I'm not, you know, I have no authority at all, but really the PDGA can't obviously force anybody off the course, right? You can't, like, a local city government has to do that, or local law enforcement, but we can't make people stop playing. But us, the PDGA as a professional organization that has the best interest of all disc golfers in mind, because we're all disc golfers, again, has to look and go, like I mentioned earlier, we don't fully know everything about this virus, and we probably never will. But even just us, you know, the scientists may get to that point someday, but we may not even fully ever know. But until we know more about how this spreads, the different ways that it can spread, we know how contagious it is, that the wisest option is to just forgo the course. Is it just right now? Just right now, it's not a permanent thing. We, you know, none of us want to be told what to do. I understand that, but knowing, you know, that we're going to be helping flatten that curve is very important to not only us, to our family members. My mother-in-law has very bad asthma. She can't get this thing, right? She can't. There are so many of my family members, your family, and we all have family members. And instead of looking at what we can't do right now, or what's wisest for us to not do, it's better to take this time to focus on things we can do, you know? And that's really where we can make the biggest gains, is focusing as players, as a sport, as everything, is focusing on what we can do in these next couple of weeks. I noticed, like, someone on my Facebook Facebook friend, she wrote that she just wants to go and play a solo. She just wants to play around with her husband. And I get that. I totally understand. But right now, if everybody, there's areas of the world, and especially in the United States, where there's a lot of disc golfers. And if 800 disc golfers all decide to go play a solo around that day, that's a packed course, right? So you can say, I'm just playing by myself, or I'm playing with my friend, but you get everybody, so many people now are off work right now. They have the opportunity. There's so many people that are like, oh, I've always been interested in playing, throwing those frisbee looking things. Maybe I'll go get one.
Yep.
So now the courses are packed with newbies. The courses are packed with disc golfers. And it's not just a medical, it's not just at that point, it doesn't only become a health issue. I think it's a health risk even at that point, but it's a risk to the sport, because if local law enforcement, if local governments are seeing packed disc golf courses, they're going to start doing like what they've done here in California, De La Viega. The city pulled those baskets.
Yep.
Right. There's been baskets pulled up San Francisco, Golden Gate, Huntington Beach has been pulled.
And even, right? They've been doing it everywhere. It's been Georgia, South Carolina. We've seen quite a bit of baskets being pulled.
Yeah. And so that's what we don't want, because once those baskets are out of the ground, disc golf's not going to be the number, unfortunately, it's not going to be the number one priority when Parks and Rec opens back up to be like, hey, we want our baskets back. Can you put them in the ground? And the city's like, oh, yeah, we'll get to that eventually.
Right.
That's the last thing we want, is those baskets to be pulled as far as the course setup, right? The first thing we don't want is people getting sick, but last thing we want, when all this is over with, is to come back and try to go to the city government and say, can we please have our course back? And they go, oh, you mean during the health crisis that we were all going through, and there was 800 people out there playing on a daily basis, not practicing social distancing, here in Monterey, Ryan Ranch, our course was pulled a year and a half ago, and it's been crazy trying to get that course back in. And so the cities don't just do that just one day, say, oh yeah, let's just put your course back in today. That's fine. There may be steps. And so we're trying to also protect the sport, and the image of the sport and the image of disc golfers. That's low priority. Health is top priority, but it's also a priority.
Right.
It's kind of where we're coming at, the direction we're taking it.
Well, I appreciate that perspective. I think that's very helpful for a lot of people to hear. We're looking at beyond just the individuals. So obviously then the question kind of comes into your wheelhouse now. Like, I'm at home, but man, I love disc golf and I really want to keep up my game. Maybe I don't have a practice basket in the yard, right? Maybe it's hard for me. I mean, I know it took me a while to have a practice basket, and especially right now, I don't think a lot of shipping of baskets is going on. So, okay, I can't putt. All right, well, maybe I can work on this thing or that thing and try and keep my game sharp. So you, as a physical trainer, a trainer related to disc golf, can you give our listeners maybe a few tips or a few exercises that you think would be especially useful right now? I know you do have an app and a subscription for this, so we're kind of asking you for free advice, and I apologize. But
no.
You got any? What would be like your top two or three exercises or strategies that disc golfers can use right now from home?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love giving free advice. That's really my mission is to, not just in this time, but any time, because we all want to keep playing this sport as much as we can, as long as we can. And
this is true. By the way, real quick, you very much helped my shoulder injury that I was having last year. So people who are listening to this, Seth is legit. Listen to him right now.
Oh, no. I'm glad that your shoulder has definitely taken a turn for the better and gotten to where you want it to be. So I'm glad to hear that, or close to where you want it to be. I know we always want to get better, but, you know, the one that I guess I mentioned earlier is leveling up, is saying, hey, instead of thinking about the things that I'd like to do, but just aren't in the best interest of myself, my family, the community, the world right now, let me look for other ways to level up my life right now. Because disc golf, being good at disc golf, is more than just throwing a disc. Like, there's so much more tied into being a good athlete than having plastic in my hand and throwing it towards a basket. Like, that's the end result. That's the top of the pyramid, right? And if we take a pyramid and we break that down into steps up to the very top, the skill of the game is the very top. That's the very, that's the point, right? So how high that pyramid goes and how strong the foundation of that pyramid, that skill, that top point, depends on how robust and how thick and how strong the layers underneath that top point are. And the more we level up and work on those other parts of that pyramid, those other layers, our skill is just going to get that much better, that much higher. So obviously you mentioned earlier, and we've talked about this, that, and I've seen this on posts where people say, oh, well, my local government says that I should be outdoors and disc golf's an outdoor activity. Yes. Well, tennis is an outdoor activity, right? Lacrosse is an outdoor activity. You know, like they're, and I know lacrosse is a group sport, but a lot of disc golf is happening in groups right now. But there's a lot of outdoor activities that I think that they're more recommending is hiking and biking and running and jogging and things like that. One, I would say the first thing, a way you can level up outdoors, is go rucking. It's R-U-C-K-I-N-G. Rucking.
Okay.
Rucking. Yep. So to be honest, I have been self-quarantined from my family, but I have walked outside because I don't have any symptoms. I don't think, you know, I don't know if I was exposed or not, but I've stayed away from people. I have walked outside and I walked outdoors. We actually did go on a family hike the other day where my family was like probably 100 feet in front of me. And I made sure that they were in front of me and I watched them play and everything from a far distance. So I was still well keeping my social distancing by a lot. But I was able to go out with my family and able to see them from a distance. So rucking is going outside. I think of it as urban hiking. My athletes, my pro athletes, did this in the off season where they would wear a weighted pack on their back, take a disc golf bag, throw some weights in it, a small bag of sand, whatever you need to in a plastic bag or something to put some weight in your disc golf bag and go for a hike. It's walking. Rucking comes from the military. You go for a ruck. When I was in boot camp and we would, you know, they were called rucks. So because you have a rucksack,
right?
So go for a ruck. It translates over to what we do in disc golf, where we are walking with a weighted pack on our back. It forces us upright. It puts some tension, forces our core to get engaged and tension our core. And we can, you know, I recommend go for 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 90 minutes. You can alternate intervals of, you know, fast walking, a brisk walk followed by a recovery walk. So say you brisk walk for 2 minutes or 5 minutes, and then you do like a recovery pace walk for like, you know, 2 to 3 minutes, and then go for a brisk walk again. That's going to get your heart rate up and then down, up and down, up and down. And that's what's most important for improving your endurance, is not getting your heart rate up the whole time, but having your heart rate go up and then being able to get it back down and, you know, very quickly. So if you're playing D-Glo and you're walking up one of those big hills, it's not that like, hey, I've got high endurance because my heart rate's still elevated when I get at the top. It's no, if two disc golfers are walking up a hill at D-Glo and they get to the top, the one that's going to be most cardiovascular fit is the one that their heart rate starts to drop down to normal the fastest, right? You don't want to try to be making your next shot with your heart rate still,
right?
You know, you're still hearing your heartbeat in your ears, right? One thing I would, and I know you're a runner, right, Steve?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to say this with some caveats that people ask me all the time about running. And I say, if you're an experienced runner, and running is something that you want to get better at, run. If not, ruck or go for a hike. If you do want to run, go for a run a very short distance, because what people will do in the beginning is say, oh, now I have time, I've always wanted to go running, and they'll go, I'm going to do 3 miles today. That's a lot of stress on the joints.
Yeah, if you're not a runner.
Yeah, you have to work your way up to that. Go and say, I'm going to do intervals where I'm going to run for a minute and then walk for a minute. I'm going to do that for a little while. And then I'm going to build up slowly over time, because people will go out and they'll just start running and they don't have the right shoes, or they're not warming correctly, or their body's just not able to take that stress. And so then they're like, well, I was a runner and now I'm someone at home with knees that feel like they're shot and a swollen ankle, right? So running is good if you have a background in it. And if you're like, you know what, I could do other things, go for a ruck instead.
Okay.
But if you like running and you do it and you're smart about it, it's a good thing. Running has one of the highest injury rates in any sport, because people will just jump right into it and they'll just go, oh, I ran an hour today for the first time ever. And this is the first time I've ran in years. And then they're not running for like another 2 weeks because they're so sore. I would say other ways to level up. Obviously, practicing your putting. If you got a basket in the backyard, or practicing putting to an object, practicing your upshots at a local field or in your backyard, if you've got that kind of backyard, which we don't here in California, right?
Yeah, those don't exist. But
no, other ways to level up your game. Obviously, you mentioned physical training. I tell my athletes this. I've talked about this a lot. Professional sports teams don't employ strength and conditioning coaches like myself for hundreds of thousands of dollars, like that, for full training staffs and training rooms. They don't do that just because they feel like they need to. They do that because they know that science shows that working on improving your physical capacities and your movement abilities, that makes their athletes be able to perform better on the field of play, and it lowers their risk of injury. So they're not just doing it to waste money. They're doing it because science has shown that improving your physical fitness improves your ability to play and improves your ability to resist injury. So spending this time to level up on, hey, I'm going to do a mobility routine at home. I'm going to get stability in my joints. I'm going to do physical training. Yes, like you mentioned, the Turkish get up. We have the 15-day Turkish get up challenge going on right now in the Disc Golf Strong Fitness community on Facebook. It's a free group. It's just type in Disc Golf Strong Fitness community. And it's a free group. You can go in there. We're on like day 5 or day 6 right now, but you can jump in and either start at day 1 and just go a couple days later than us, or and that's what I would recommend. But if you want to try to do a couple in a day, you can do that as well. And the Turkish get up is one of my favorite exercises. I've got lots of experience doing it. I used to own a training gym based around kettlebells, and we would do Turkish get ups like every day. I had Eagle doing Turkish get ups and Calvin when we were at the Airbnb in Waco. So jump in there. I also, on my YouTube channel, I have a ton of videos, and also I have my Disc Golf Strong app, which there's a free app you can download, and there's Jumpstart bodyweight programs in there, and there's and then there's like a exercise video library of over 400 exercises. So you can do your own thing, or if you want to do something that's more focused, that's focused around disc golf, those are some options there. Couple other things. I know I'm going on with a lot of things.
All good, man. This is all good information. We appreciate it.
Oh, well, great. Happy to share it. So other things to level up. I mentioned earlier meditation, breath work. One of the biggest transformations you can make is by tapping into your breath and learning how to control your breath. And this isn't, it's not woo-woo stuff. It is things that they are doing at the top levels of sport. I am acquaintances, friends with a lot of people, a lot of coaches who trained many of the best athletes in the world, and they focus on controlling your breath, using your diaphragm to breathe, getting out of the fight or flight breathing, of which is breathing up into your chest and your shoulders and your neck. They've been doing it in yoga. They've been doing it in martial arts. They've been doing it in Buddhism. They've been doing it all those for thousands and thousands of years, and they've never taken out of their curriculum how important the breath is. So there's apps that you can get on your phone, breath work apps. There's meditation apps. Calm is a great app. There's free ones too. That's got a trial, but there's Headspace. There's free apps though. So I did a Calm meditation last night. I did one when I woke up this morning. Outside of meditation, mental game, leveling up in your mental game is so impactful. I just did a meditation this morning on Calm, on the Calm app, with LeBron James. LeBron James was literally the voice. He was the one doing this series on Calm, on developing that like athlete mindset, that winning mindset, that warrior mindset kind of thing, where he talked about meditation and how in some of his biggest moments when he had to get back out on the court before overtime started or before he knew something impactful was going to happen, he said, I didn't go off and just do a quick stretch or do something like that or have a drink of water. He's like, I sat down and I just meditated for 30 seconds. That's what I did. I cleared my mind. So taking some time to level up on that will be so impactful for you, because my sports psychologist professor in college, he was one of the top sports psychologists in the world, Dr. Ken Revisa. He's since passed on, but he worked for the Angels. He worked with the Tampa Bay Rays. He worked with brain surgeons with the he worked with the Blue Angels pilots. He just did so many. And he would just drill into us how much mental training matters as an athlete, really in any parts of life, but as an athlete. Right. And the thing that I see in disc golf, and I see this in any other sport, in many sports, most sports, is that no one tries to use, no one thinks it mental, the mental is important and tries to level up their mental training until it's like in that moment, right? They're like, they just got a bogey. Now they just threw OB. They're starting to get really upset. And now they're trying to search their brain. Like, what do I do for my mental game right now? Like they're trying to access, they're trying to learn it on the fly, right? In the moment. They're doing it in the moment. Of, okay, I've got to calm myself down. I'm so frustrated right now. What do I do? And now I have to throw my next shot. So mental game training prior to the you getting out on the course, prior to the tournament, during the off season, that's when you level up your mental training. That's where you work on your breath control, your focus, focusing in on things, getting rid of negative self-talk or stop limiting negative self-talk. We all it's hard to stop it, but we can not make it important in our minds. Those kind of things you got to do beforehand. So you can do that with apps. There's great books. There's a book called The Brave Athlete. I recommended that to my pros this offseason to grab that to read. The Brave Athlete, that's kind of geared towards endurance athletes, but you know, we're kind of an endurance athlete as far as our sport can go on for a couple hours.
Yeah.
And so you have to stay mentally focused for a couple hours. Madison loved that. Madison Walker, she loved that book. Eagle did too. I was talking to Eagle about it. Mind Gym, GYM. Okay. That's an amazing book on mental game as well. So, you know, finding ways to level up there, working on developing that routine you've always wanted to develop. That's important too. Nutrition. There's so many different ways, right? And so you don't need to do them all. Just pick one or two, right? I want to read more books. I want to work on that mental game. I want to work on breathing, creating a breathing routine. There's lots of ways to level up, but one thing I told I was talking to some of my athletes on the phone, and I said, you know, I'm in isolation here for 2 weeks. We're in self-quarantine for 3 weeks and possibly beyond that. And when we end this and I look back, tried to put myself in the shoes where I was at the very end of this self-quarantine and this self shelter in place, and things were getting back to normal. I thought of myself, and I wrote this down actually. I said, what do I want to look back on those past weeks and say, how did I level up my life in that time? What did I do to help benefit and make me a better me where I am now? Because that helps me go back and put time into these kind of things, because would I feel good? And some people may, and that's okay. There's no judgment. Some people may look back and say, like Eric Oakley and I were joking about this the other day on a call, because he saw a meme. It said like, day 31, I finished Netflix, right? Like maybe 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, maybe two. Maybe you look back and go, I'm very satisfied in my life. I finished Netflix. And there's no judgment, right? If that's what is most important for your life, understandable. But I think most people would look and want to look back and go, I watched a Netflix show here and there. Yes, I paid attention to the news. I did this and that. But where did I actually make positive impacts in my life moving forward that's going to help me, that's going to help my family, my income, you know, like my standing, what is it going to be? And that's the most important thing, to do that first, because if you don't, if that doesn't happen, then we're just going to default to, I'm just going to lay in bed and watch Netflix all day. I know that was like, I think that was like an hour. So I apologize to everyone having to listen to all that. But
yeah, it's cool, man. Hey, you know what? We've got time. So Seth, man, I really appreciate it. Thank you for coming on. And again, anyone who's looking for some more intel, go find the Disc Golf Strong Fitness Community on Facebook. You can download the app Disc Golf Strong, and Seth will keep hooking you up. So hey, stay safe up in quarantine there, and thanks again for the time, Seth.
Thanks so much, Steve, for having me. It was a pleasure being on here. Pleasure to help share this information. And to everyone out there, we're gonna get through this. You know, let's just, as I've been saying on my Facebook post, stay safe, stay smart, and stay strong.
All right. That was Seth Muncy of Disc Golf Strong. We'll be back here in just a moment on DJ Radio. Thanks again to Seth Muncy. I hope he is hanging in there he's got a couple more days, I think, in his quarantine. And real quick, I want to also give a shout out to Eagle McMahon for helping us get the word out on the Skip the Course, Stay at Home message. He was great. He recorded something for our Facebook page. I also saw Simon Lazat is kind of putting the word out through his vlog now. I appreciate that.
you know, this is kind of where we need our, this is where we need some star power, man. Like, we need the stars to be stars right now. And like, you see guys like Steph Curry, hosting, you know, Instagram live interviews with experts and things like that. Like, this is where we need the celebs to step up. So thank you to those guys. You know, Sarah, with all of this uncertainty and craziness going on, like, it can be really easy to get down. But, you know, we got to look for the good in things. So we're going to try and finish the show today with some of the silver linings that we've taken from this whole coronavirus sticking around at home situation. So, you know, what's one of the things, Sarah, that you have been able to kind of reflect on and appreciate and see that, hey, you know what? This situation may suck, but there's this good thing that's come out of it. Give me an example.
Well, first off, I'm going to make a plug for the movie Silver Linings Playbook because it's great and you should add it to your
Is it Bradley Cooper?
Yeah.
Quick aside, I have not been, is that sports related, like Playbook?
Yeah. He's really into the Eagles and it's based out in a town outside of Philadelphia, close to where I'm from. So
we've been watching some like older, like the sports films that came out in like the 90s that my daughter's never seen. Like we watched Rookie of the Year last night. You ever seen Rookie of the Year?
Yeah.
The movie holds up pretty well. I enjoyed it again quite a bit. Anyway, back to your silver lining.
Silver Linings Playbook number one. Yeah. No. You made a pretty good segue. You were talking about celebrities using their platforms and there have been a plethora of celebrities going on Instagram Live and doing just all sorts of stuff. Sean and I love cooking and baking shows. So there's like Alton Brown is doing a daily segment cooking from his house. And then you've got Anthony from Queer Eye, who's been doing a daily segment as well. He's the dude that cooks and I'm obsessed with him. So I'm just eating that up. I wish I were literally eating the food that he's literally making, but I'm not. And then like Snoop Dogg was doing a really cool one. And like Talib Kweli, if you're into underground hip hop. So yeah, super cool. I've never seen so many Instagram live videos. Like I look at my Instagram and there's like 10 happening all at once. So that's super cool. The other thing is one personally for me is all of my trips have been canceled for the foreseeable future. So I'm racking up PTO right now, which is one of the things that I was complaining about earlier in the year is just using all my PTO on disc golf for the past several years and just feeling a little bit burnout from that. But now I feel like I'm going to end the year with more PTO than I know what to do with and might actually be able to take a relaxing vacation for the first time. We'll see about that.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I think for me, like one thing that I'm really appreciative of is that, you know, there's the whole concept of like, we're staying apart from each other. But I'm actually like more in touch and connected with my friends and family than I usually am. I'm calling my mom and dad on our video chats much more frequently. I try and touch base with them every day. And I am not afraid to yell at them because they still like to go out when they shouldn't. Like they go to Costco. I know you're listening, Dad. Stop going to Costco. They listen sometimes.
Oh, that's adorable.
So, you have enough stuff. Go for a walk in the neighborhood and throw frisbees at poles. But like my friends and I from, you know, high school and college have been doing this thing. My buddies, like right after college, they lived together up in the Bay Area and they would host Scotch Night. And I never really partook because I wasn't a big Scotch drinker. And I was kind of like, I wasn't really in the area that much. But we now have virtual Scotch Night, which I do partake in with whiskey. And the first week, we watched a film called Velocipastor, which was an hour and 15 minutes waste of time / the most amazing, ridiculous thing you've ever seen. Wow. And I would highly suggest you go watch it. It's on Amazon Prime. If you have a Prime membership, it's free. It's about this pastor who goes to China and gets bit or something and then has the power to turn into a velociraptor. But it's so campy and terrible and hilarious at the same time. And then last night it was Jurassic Games, which is like Jurassic Park mixed with the Hunger Games. Not gonna lie, wasn't a big fan. A lot more intense, a lot less campy, a little more deathy. Yeah. Wasn't really feeling it. I need more like
right up my alley.
I need some more silly, like uplifting fare right now. But it's just cool, like everyone's really looking out for each other and you know, doing some stuff and getting together that we hadn't in a while. So it's kind of one of those things that's come up. Is there anything else that's really standing out to you?
Yeah, I did the same thing. I've got a group of my best friends from high school, and we've been in touch ever since we were 14 years old. Like, we've never lost touch. We see each other at least once a year. I go back to Philly often and see the ones that still live in the area, but we have never done a group video chat. And we did the first one on Wednesday, and it's so funny because we are like, we all kind of admitted that we are a little bit nervous before doing it, which makes no sense because I've known these girls. So I'm 33. I've known most of them since I was 14 years old, and we have all seen each other at our absolute best and absolute worst. And we ended up staying on the video chat for 2 hours, and we decided to do it on a weekly basis. So because I had to go out, I was the only one not drinking an adult beverage and felt a little bit left out about that. And because we had to go out and had some time to kill today, I was like, I'm going to get myself some sparkling seltzers and some wine. So now I can partake.
There you go. There you go. Very nice.
Yeah.
I say the other one that I want to share that I've been really enjoying is like, my daughter is out of school and obviously is looking for things to do. And she asked if we could learn to play chess. So we've been playing chess, and she's pretty good at it. Like, I think she worked me to a stalemate last night, at least if I'm understanding the rules of chess. I will say I've never actually played either. So like, we're both learning, and it's good for like a nice mental exercise. That's not, you know, it's like a puzzle and a game at the same time. Like, I actually quite enjoy it. So it's just cool to interact with her in that way and kind of have a new thing that we're both learning and challenging each other with. And, it's stuff like that I'm trying to like take away from all this, because I think if we don't take that stuff away, it's kind of like what Seth mentioned in his interview. He talked about leveling up, and like, if you are going to take all this time and just be miserable, you can be miserable, or you can take this time and put it to good use. And I think that's what we can all try and do.
I do think there's two weird things I want to point out. That this is the year I decided to take a little bit of a break from competitive disc golf and also grow my hair out. I was kind of deciding back and forth between those, and now I have no choice but to do both of those.
Yeah, you can't even go to the salon.
No. So the weird coincidences with that, for sure.
Yeah,
it is odd. And we're also saving a lot of money. I'm not just like going out like, oh, I need a something from Target, and I end up with 50 somethings that I don't really need. So, and we're also not really doing a lot of online shopping. So saving money, which is a good thing.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I hope the listeners are able to kind of take some good out of this whole situation. If you want to share any of your silver linings with us, send them to radio@pdga.com. And I think that's a good note to end the show on. A little bit more of an uplifting tone. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe, tell a friend, leave us a review if it's a good one. I mean, I guess you can leave a bad review. It's free content.
You don't need that right now.
I mean,
that right now, on top of everything,
it'd be fine. I've seen enough. It would almost be like, I don't know. I'm getting, no, I can't say I'm getting numb to it, not numb to it. Yeah, no, I'm trying, but no. Yeah. Anyway, leave us a review, subscribe, share it with your friends. And, hopefully we'll be back next week, but whatever we do, whenever our next show is, it's going to be episode number 100. So, we'll either be back next week, or maybe we'll need extra time to plan a cool episode 100 show. I haven't been able to process it mentally yet, but we'll have something for episode 100.
That makes us old. Are we podcast OGs?
No, not even close, man. 100's like, I think Smashbox is up over like 300.
All right. Well, we can't compare ourselves to them.
I mean, they're a disc golf podcast. I think we can. Maybe not.
Touché.
I don't know. But either way, it's pretty good for us. So I'm happy to do it. Thanks for sticking with me for 99 episodes now, Sarah. Appreciate it.
Likewise.
Yeah. All right. You and Sean, take it easy. And everybody else, thanks for listening. This was PDJ Radio. That was Sarah Sinclair. I'm Steve Hill. Be good to each other, and we will talk to you soon.